Around the world, in every city and town, lurks the unexplained, the impossible, the feeling that tingles the back of your neck. You ask, what is in the shadows? These are the thoughts that man has asked for centuries. Sit back as we delve in the shadows with your host, Jeremy Ryder.
Welcome once again to In the Shadows Radio, presented by the Ghost Society. I am your host, Jeremy Ryder. Along with me in the studio is Matt Worthington, my co-host with the most.
Hello.
And today's episode's all about ancient aliens. And this is going to be a fairly involved subject, so we're going to get right into it. To start off with, there's a lot of things just in ruins and everything like this that point back to the fact that these massive buildings, how could we possibly have created them with simple tools, like many archaeologists say?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have laser straight lines and very precise cuts of stone, monolithic stone. I mean, some weighing like 10 tons or more.
There's structures and buildings that were built, you know, in the past that we could not replicate today with all our modern technology. So how is it possible somebody without the education that modern day humans have possibly create these buildings, these cities, these towns?
Yeah. Now, we were talking during the break about how civilizations like Egypt had all this knowledge. They had the written word. You know, the Sumerians had the written word, but then all of a sudden, nothing. They're like considered a third world country now because of this.
They just disappeared.
Yeah.
It goes from the fact that, like, take it in the perspective. Close your eyes and think about it. You have all these pyramids, you have all the written word and everything, and then if you go to Egypt nowadays and ask them, well, you got any stories passed down by them? Do you have any documentation? Some of those people, up until like the early 1930s when we started opening the tombs, had even forgot there were grave sites there. Now, these are people that they lived there in the time of the pyramids, and they never stopped living there. They've always lived in Egypt. So how come for a gap of 1,000 years, they just forgot everything that happened 1,000 years before? They just lost all their technology in a matter of, you know, instantly like that.
Now, some people will say, well, it was because of the Romans, you know, Antony and Cleopatra and everything like this. Well, if that's the case, they still had the written word. They're still able to pass down these stories, this history, this technology.
Exactly.
That they have. But yet, until the time of World War II, nothing?
You would think just like we are passed down traits. Your grandfather passes down traits to your father. Your father passes down those to you. Are they telling me that all of a sudden they just stopped telling their kids stuff? Stop teaching them how to write. Stop teaching them this is how you do this or this is how you do that. But apparently that happened. You have people who've lived in this area for 3,000 to 4,000 years, and then there's just a period of time where they just stop passing on information. I mean, how do you not know that you've got a Valley of the Kings and all these tombs buried right over there when your ancestry, your grandfather's 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 grandfather has lived there all their life?
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere the technology was lost, or it was possibly cut off for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had gliders back in ancient time, which that was, be it manned or unmanned flight, that we didn't rediscover until 1912. Come on. You know, dirigibles. They had dirigibles. Okay, now, we don't rediscover that until, what, 1910? You know, 1900s at least? You know, 1800s?
They had battery power capability.
Yeah. The Baghdad battery, as it's known.
And they just had, a group of, if most people are not aware, the Baghdad battery was a group of jars that were found encased in a tomb area in a cave, and They had a cylinder rod that went through these jars with wiring, similar to like copper wiring, wrapped around them. And when you add vinegar to the jars, they produce a battery.
Exactly. Now, and all this technology was lost? How? Like Matt's saying, you know, you don't just stop telling stories.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
it's like there was massive amnesia.
And that's what it appears, is there was massive amnesia. I mean, if you've lived in your house all your life, you're not just going to say one day, oh, I forgot I had a washer and dryer downstairs.
Yeah.
You know? These are things that were as large as this society and civilization was and the advanced technology they had at the time, you just don't forget that you have that stuff.
Exactly.
And it did. If you go to Egypt nowadays, they don't have any idea how they made the pyramids, what this stuff is, what that is, how the Sphinx got there. All their technology was
the hieroglyphic writing but had to be rediscovered on what the words meant.
Exactly. But yet these people never left the area. They've lived there all their life. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, even if you want to take Egypt out of the equation and you want to apply Europe.
Exactly.
You had the Dark Ages. There was nothing written for hundreds of years.
As soon as the Roman Empire collapsed and the Dark Ages began, they lost modern technology. But you can't say they really lost modern technology. They just didn't apply it. Because we can go back and we know so much about the Romans because things were written down and passed down by word of mouth.
Yeah.
But with third world countries like India and Egypt, not even third world countries, but just the fact that, you know, they were massive civilizations like Rome. But it's just at one point in time, nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
Everybody said, let's forget about these pyramids, the writing. Let's just not say anything. Let's not tell our children these advances in technology. It's almost as if they were told or they had to stop everything dead in its tracks from what they knew and start a whole new creation. It was almost as if it needed to be forgotten about.
Yeah, civilization reboot.
Civilization reboot in mass quantities.
Well, you look at India, since you brought up India. They had complex mathematics and astrological means.
Mm-hmm.
There was a series done on History Channel. It was called What the Ancients Knew. The host is very boring, but it's a very good series. And he goes to India for one of them. And he shows all these complex machines that they had. Rudimentary as they were, you know, obviously they didn't have silicon microchips and everything like this. But even you look at the Greeks with that clockwork computer that they had for telling the astrological movements and everything like this. The Mayans, you know, with indoor plumbing, and even the Romans with their plumbing and everything like this. How would that just disappear all of a sudden? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back on that subject. Welcome back to In the Shadows, and we were discussing about stops in civilization. Now, we were mentioning like the indoor plumbing of the Romans and such, which would have led to obviously better sanitary conditions. There wouldn't have been such a widespread...
Well, the Romans did have inner watertary ducts, but their indoor plumbing itself was still pretty basic. It was the more outhouse unique. I mean, they used a brush to wipe their behind with, and then when they were done with it, they stuck it in a bucket of salt water, and they thought that was sanitary and kept it clean. Everybody used the same brush. So indoor plumbing wasn't really their thing, but
well,
they definitely had aqueducts underneath the city to where you actually did use a toilet, it carried it out of the city. So therefore, your sanitation level did go up some because you now had a way of transporting your waste away rather than having it sit.
Right. And these were technologies that were available originally in Britain, you know, in the Roman colonies and everything like this. And you got to wonder why that didn't spread further. I mean, because you had a lot of cases of diphtheria, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like this, cholera and such in in the UK at the time. And these were obviously just places that had access to that archaeology, if you want to say.
Exactly.
So you got to wonder what exactly went on with our ancestors back then, why they would have forgot all this stuff. And we're going to touch now on some of the physical evidence that was left behind. We already mentioned, like, the Baghdad Battery.
Mm-hmm.
The hieroglyphs. There's plenty of hieroglyphs showing flying machines way before
exactly
there was anything.
Just like with the ancient Sumerians, just the amount of hieroglyphics and writings that we have left from them suggest that they were in touch with aliens. I mean, there's pictures depicted. Like, I've studied and saw a picture of what they call a king meeting with an alien. And you have a picture here of three guards written in hieroglyphics of a picture drawing from the ancient Sumerians of their king on a stool, and the three guards are bringing to them a prisoner. They can tell it's a prisoner because there's a spear at the back. But what's odd about this prisoner is its legs actually go in reverse. They bend backwards other than normal human knees, and the feet are kind of spread outward as if it had hooves. And this was a very odd photo, probably to be taken at the time. Not a photo to be taken at the time, but just something to be drawn at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, it's left up to what it actually represents, but I mean, some people say, well, it might have been a demon brought forth before the king.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why wouldn't you just slay the demon instead of bringing him in front of your king?
Exactly.
You know, your king is everything. He's your head of your finances. He's the head of your well-being. You know, so, I mean, that's one possibility. But Vimanas in India were mm-hmm. talked about and were written about. Now, these are people that shouldn't have known what a flying machine does or what the inner workings of them are. But they wrote about the inner workings of these Vimanas.
Are actually people, and where was it? It was a Sumerian city-state near the mouth of the Euphrates River on the Persian Gulf. They actually found a pot, a cylinder. And it was found, in the carved into it were basically the sun, the moon, and 12 planets. At this time, I mean, this is far before the Egyptians. These people had the knowledge of 12 planets, a moon, and the sun. There should have been no reason how they knew this information unless this information was actually given to them. They described in their ancient language that Neptune had hot semi-liquid that existed in its core. So therefore, the Sumerians described the planet as a marshy planet. How did they even have any knowledge of that? And we actually have this physically in Sumerian language, that they described it as a marshy planet.
Yeah, and we didn't discover that until recently with our probes.
Until just recently, in the last, like, maybe 15, 20 years. You know, the question is, you know, how did they have the knowledge of this without being taught this?
Exactly. We also have, you know, physical evidence of just capabilities that are far beyond what should be around. The Groom Sphere from South Africa was a metallic sphere found in South Africa with three parallel grooves around its equator. The sphere was found in Precambrian mineral deposits, said to be 2.8 billion years old. And these grooves are perfect in symmetry. There's mm-hmm. no deviation, and it's metallic. I mean, they had no metal-making ability back then.
Well, we didn't even have people. The Precambrian period, I'm not sure if you know what the Precambrian period is. It predates the Cretaceous period. So this is before... This is before T-Rex. This is Precambrian is the time when you see the fossils of the of bugs and snails and such embedded in rock, when basically the oceans covered most of the earth. And yet you have this perfect symmetrical sphere carved with these three grooved lines that are perfectly spaced and perfectly drawn into it. It's just no real explanation for it.
Yeah. Right here in the U.S., they found an ancient coin in Illinois. And this coin-like object was from a well boring near Lawn Ridge, Illinois. It was found at a reported depth of 114 feet below the surface. And according to the information supplied by the Illinois State Geological Survey, the deposits on this coin are between 200,000 and 400,000 years old.
And it actually has depictions of people carved into it. I mean, it literally is a coin. Just with the amount of drawings from the Sumerians that we have. I mean, Sumerians depicted things in their photos like rockets in flight. And we're talking rockets that they drew complete with exhaust fumes coming out the bottom of the rockets. They actually depict exhaust or airflow coming out the bottom of these rockets. Is this just a coincidence? I don't believe so. No. I believe, were they possibly visited by something extraterrestrial? Could be.
Could be, or it could be that lost technology, you know, that we came about with. You know, this is why we let in with that mass amnesia of civilization for a while. A lot of people are going to obviously point to ancient aliens on this, you know, but it could have been technologies that we ourselves as a people had come up with and forgotten, and then came up with and forgotten again.
If the Egyptians who have lived there all their life can forget everything that their society was based on, that's like us forgetting anything that happened from 1900 and down. Us losing the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and realizing it never happened. I mean, if a civilization that big and that advanced can lose almost everything that they've ever been taught or created, who knows what in the history of Earth, I mean, human race is just a blink in time.
Mm-hmm.
What we ourselves have actually lost and we don't have any recollection of.
Well, I mean, if you want to go with that metal sphere, I mean, it's possible, although you think there would have been fossil evidence of it around, then again, you know, the way bones decay, you never know. But, I mean, exactly. We could have been around in the Precambrian times as a human species, and we've had many of these amnesia periods, you know, that we've forgotten.
I mean, you've got to consider things can get lost in time. There's certain cities that we've found for the Aztecs and the Mayans to where literally the cities have been abandoned overnight. No recollection or any idea on where the people go. I mean, they've even found that these people were in the process of making dinner at the time. You know, bread was still laid out on the table, the cups, the silverware, the things that they used at the time. It's literally like it was abandoned overnight, just like Chernobyl. I mean, the civilization disappeared. Maybe that's what these blanks in time are, mass civilization disappearance. I don't know, it's just something I'm throwing out there. There's just so many different areas you can touch. And we actually have the documentation of cities of the Aztecs that have literally disappeared overnight. The whole city's abandoned. We're talking like thousands of people that just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, it's even happened here in North America with the Native Americans here.
Mm-hmm.
And can't remember whereabouts exactly, but it was, they were Pueblo-type buildings, but I mean, that entire tribe just picked up and took off.
Are these, like with the Aztecs, are these people being taught technology and then when they don't harm, you know, are they being taught certain technologies to create what they have created? I mean, look at the Aztec temples and the Mayan temples, very similar to the ones of Egypt. Are they being taught something by an extraterrestrial life and then follows the theory of abduction? Are these people being taken? Could that have happened with ancient Egypt? Did these massive people build these pyramids and all this technology? And then what I'm referring to as the blackout period actually be a time of just abduction?
Possible.
The mass race was abducted, and therefore you have that gap, that loss. And maybe they weren't there all the time. Maybe the fact is that the people living there during this period where they took away from Egypt, all its civilization, there's your blackout. New people moved into the area. And technically, being that they lived there, they would be Egyptians also.
Yeah. Scary theory.
There's been, you know, mass blackouts.
Yeah. And
how many times has it happened?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing you gotta wonder, you know. Here's an artifact that was found in Philadelphia. They had raised letter-like shapes found inside a block of marble from a quarry near Philadelphia in 1978. And the block of marble came from a depth of 60 to 70 feet and strata dated 500 to 600 million years old. But if you happen to look at the picture, and I'll put this up on our Facebook page, it actually looks like letters.
And they're perfectly
from large. A language that you don't know. But then you get into physical evidence, like bones and such. There was one that the term is Rex skeleton, R-E-C-K, apostrophe S. It was the first significant African discovery related to human origins occurred in 1913 when Professor Hans Reck of Berlin University found a human skeleton in the upper part of Bed 2 in the Oldavi Gorge in Tanzania. Modern dating methods give the late early Pleistocene date of around 1.15 million years for this site. And Rex said the bed in which the human's remains were found showed no sign of disturbance. The skeleton was distorted by compression from weight of substantial accumulation of sediment and overlaying strata.
So right there we're talking about a human-like skull found 1.5 million years ago.
Yeah.
Far beyond what we know today of modern existence of Neanderthal or any kind of man.
Right. And W.O. Dietrich, writing in 1933, stated that the feature of the skeleton argued against it being recent shale burying. So, I mean, obviously, this is a modernized skull that was not recently buried, which means that the strata was not disturbed. And George Grant McCurdy, a leading anthropologist from Yale University, considered Rex's discovery to be genuine.
Hmm.
So how do you get a modern skull back 1.5 million years?
Buried in 1.5 million year old sediment and nothing's been disturbed around it.
Yeah. It's and obviously it had sat there for a while because it showed compression.
And it goes to the effect of how long have we actually been around.
Yeah.
And points to the theory, too. A lot of people have the theory of the universe. How was the universe created? Then you have people that talk about the Big Bang Theory. Everything blew up and is slowly expanding out. But in order for it to expand out, it has to expand into something. And when it finally reaches the end of what it's expanding into, is it actually reversing at this time? And what I've always thought interesting about, like, maybe going off the subject here, interdimensional, is actually, as we're expanding out, is it actually expanding back in? And if it expands back in, does time go in reverse? And at certain points in time, as we're moving forward and it's coming back, are we crossing paths?
Well, that's also one of the theories for hauntings, too. So,
yeah. But with this bank theory, could the wiping out of existence and what we're actually finding be like with this skull that's 1.5 billion or million years old? Have we gone through civilization before and then it's reversed itself and then we come back around and recreate civilization again and then it reverses itself? Who knows?
Well, it's an interesting theory.
We might even find out on December 21st.
That could be when the dimensions overlap. Who knows? There's another one here. Talk about skulls and such. It's called the Canstadolo skull. It was an anatomically modern human skull. Sergei in 1884, plate 1, was found in 1880 at Castello, Italy. I'm sorry if I'm butchering these names. The stratum of which it was taken is assigned to the Astigian stage of the Pliocene. And according to modern authorities, that Stian belongs to the Middle Pliocene, which would give a skull the age of 3 to 4 million years old.
Hmm.
Again, this isn't Neanderthal. This isn't Australopithecus or anything like that. And this is in Italy, so it's not even near Africa. And they're saying it's anatomically modern skull. The Java Man thigh bone is another one.
Oh, yeah.
In August of 1892, Eugene Dubois discovered a fossilized human-like femur at the bank of the Solo River in central Java, near the village of Trinil. 45 feet from this location, he found a skull cap and molars. Dubois believes the molars and skull and femur all came from the same being. However, the fact that these bones were found 45 feet from place where the skull was unearthed in a stratum containing hundreds of other animal bones, it makes it doubtful of the claim that both the thigh bone and the skull actually belong to the same creature or even the same species. In 1895, Dubois presented his findings to the Berlin Society of Anthropology, Ethnology, and Prehistory. The president of the society, Dr. Virchow, declared that the femur was human and the skull belonged to an ape late in its life. Dubois concluded that the skull cap belonged to a large gibbon in an ape and not considered by evolutionists to be closely related to humans. But this concept of missing link is still widely promoted today. They're thinking that either that this was a refuse pile,
mm-hmm.
basically, from what you can gather with what they wrote about here, or that this Dubois was trying to forward his missing link theory.
Well, we also came across this one here. The Temple of the Sun, the city of Pumapunca, located near Bolivia. Now, this city dates back to over 20,000 years ago, before the Bible was even thought of. So this city is like almost at the beginning of what we know of as human creation. But we're not quite sure. I mean, there's no evidence to support that. But there's some building structures here. The city towers and the walls that were constructed and certain stones there. And what makes these stones odd is because we can't recreate them in our modern age. The stones are made of solid granite. If you don't know, you can't cut granite or even engrave it very easily. It is extremely difficult rock. But yet, these people were able to carve these stones and create grooves in them that actually allowed these stones to interlock together to create a wall or structure of some kind. Now, if you think about this, this is 20,000 years ago. They didn't even have any form of paper to draft on at that time.
No.
But yet these people are using advanced mathematics to cut a singular stone that would interlock and form a wall to another structure out of one of the hardest stones on Earth.
Yeah, the only thing that you could actually engrave granite or anything with is diamond.
Exactly. And these people, this is 20,000 years. I mean, this is before the Bible was thought of. They didn't have paper to write on. But yet, these people were smart enough to use mathematics to cut into one of the hardest stones on the earth with what? We don't know. But the thing is that they cut these lines to such precision that we can't even duplicate how precise these lines are today with our most advanced diamond cutting technologies. This right there is, just baffling altogether. I mean, how is this possible? There's no scientific evidence on how they did this.
Yeah, and other spots of Pumapunca too, which the article that we pulled up doesn't say, is that they found stones fused by using
heat.
Now, to heat up granite and not have it crack and to fuse two granite blocks together, that takes an awful lot of precision and fine.
The technology to heat up granite at the time before the Bible was even thought of, 20,000 years ago, that's as far back as we can date the creation of man. These people had the technology to cut granite, smolder granite together in such precision form that we can't duplicate it today even with our best diamond cutters.
Yeah. And these blocks are tons.
And they are.
They weigh tons. And they're up on a freaking mountainside.
Yeah, it's amazing,
And where these blocks were quarried from was miles away. So how do they move, first of all, multi-ton rocks over a mile, then cut them precisely with basically laser precision, and then fuse them?
It makes great talk of the thought of, you know, extraterrestrial life out there. There's about 22% of Earth that we haven't even explored ourselves. In the deepest of the jungles, like the Mato Grosso, or basically the deepest parts of the oceans. There's about 22% of the Earth that we haven't even discovered ourselves, but yet we're concerned about going out into space. Like many people have argued, and that we found on the internet, if we need to look into our ancestry and ancient aliens, look right here. Mm-hmm. Let's stop focusing more on the stars, come to grips with what we've got as evidence right before our eyes on our own planet, and that could possibly, if we focused more on that, lead us to the answers that we need to know to go above and beyond.
We might rediscover these technologies that they used. I mean, it could be all in some ancient warehouse, some Mayan warehouse somewhere, and we just haven't stumbled across yet.
Because
right a lot of the Mayan and Aztec cities are still overrun by jungle.
There's so many of them that we don't even know. I mean, like, look at Colonel Percy Fawcett before he disappeared in his expedition into the Mato Grosso. There were stories and explorers who have come out of there talking of ancient cities in there. Comes to the theory of, was it Atlantis? I mean, these weren't the Mayans that they were discovering in those cities. They talked of cities to where... at the time, they had lamp posts that lit up and glowed to light the paths of this city and the homes. And these stories are coming back 300-400 years ago. That the technologies that these people had were amazing. And they talked about them living in underground caves. And, you know, could there be a civilization in these... in these jungles that are our ancient ancestry or ancient aliens that were given technology by ancient aliens, and they're well coveted inside these large jungle portions that we as people haven't even discovered.
Yeah.
There's so much to discover along with the cryptodes and everything else. There's a waterfall in Africa that was just discovered 2 years ago. It's almost a 1,500-foot waterfall. It's taller than Niagara Falls. It is a massive river waterfall in Africa. And only up until 2 years ago, it was discovered in Africa. It's the Thundering Falls. And if something the size, you know, two times the size of Niagara Falls can remain hidden for this long, with as long as humans have been on the planet, right, especially in Africa, I feel that it's very possible that something small, a cryptid or something like that, could actually still exist, or there still could be civilizations we haven't even discovered yet within our own planet.
Right. Well, I mean, there's parts of Alaska, there's parts of Canada,
exactly,
right here in the U.S., you know, our Pacific Northwest, that man hasn't been there,
no,
that we know of.
There's certain tribes in South America that we just discovered by flying a plane over top that they probably have no idea. They've never met the outside world. They probably thought we were a demon in the sky flying over.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And if they can remain hidden for this long, what else can remain hidden?
Oh, yeah.
In technology or in ancient cities?
Yeah. I mean, look at the cave paintings that our own Native Americans have... put down. I mean, they're over 2,000 years old. Not only do they show possible Bigfoot families, but they also show what they call the Sky People. And you look at these paintings of the Sky People and the remarkable resemblance to what people would call the Greys now.
Exactly.
And some or of people with the astronaut helmets.
Some of them even show a helmet form over top.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you gotta wonder. A lot of people point to the Nazca lines. I mean, that's the famous one to point your finger at for ancient aliens. Now, we do know that dirigibles were in existence at that time when those people did it. The level of communication that these people would have had with each other would have been remarkable, and it's hard to pull off even with walkie-talkies and stuff now. to line up those stones perfectly for what they want. It's not beyond the realm for them to do so. We're just saying that's remarkable. I mean, that's precision and focus that today's society does not have. And a lot of what we're talking about with ancient aliens, a lot of this is guesswork. We're not saying that it was the work of aliens, but that it could be the work of our own peoples that were lost many times.
Exactly.
So this episode you're going to see is titled Ancient Aliens, but it's going to have a question mark after it. So we'll just put that one on there. The biggest proponent of the ancient alien concept came from Eric von Daniken and his famous book, The Spirit of Gods. This is a person who grew up in a very strict Catholic upbringing in Germany. And he started looking at all these little things, and he got to thinking, just like we're doing right here, you know, as we're live on the air, you know, we're going, could this been, you know, an aspect of the blackout, so to speak, you know, where there's big gaps in human history. He attributed it more to aliens because even he at the time didn't really look at the blackout theory like we are here. So, but he looks at, like, the drawings of the Maya that showed one of their kings supposedly in a rocket ship with foot pedals and the hand controls and the breathing apparatus and everything like this was what really got him thinking on the track of aliens. You know, something extraterrestrial or a technological intervention, so to speak. But again, this could have been lost technologies that our own people have had and our civilization had died many times before. There is... I forget what tribe it is. It's terrible. I'm getting too old here.
There's so many.
But they have said that the Earth and civilization has died and come back many times. It's a rebirth every time. It leads to credence when you look at these gaps in history. Mm. And one thing that you and I also discussed during the break is, why hasn't anyone ever looked into these gaps in history and why they happen? It makes you scratch your head. Now,
well, people are too comfortable with the way things are. People don't want to know the unexplained.
Yeah.
They feel more comfortable not knowing. So basically they block it out. They block it out and they ignore it, and subconsciously they don't want to know. They want to know, but they don't.
Yeah. It's that fear. It's the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why a lot of ghost stories come about, why a lot of Bigfoot stories come about, stuff like this. You know, it's that fear of the unknown, so we'll put a label on it and we'll stick it away in the closet and everything will be fine. I can continue, you know, checking my voicemail messages on my smartphone and going about my day, you know, so I can have my latte. You know?
Exactly.
But here's one that we came across doing our research, and I had never heard of theory before. But it's called the Spaceship Moon Theory. And I found this rather fascinating just in the physical aspects. And I'll read the article to you. You people can draw your own conclusions. But it starts off with, over the years, it has been scientifically observed that Earth's moon holds some strange characteristics. The moon is the fifth largest natural satellite in the solar system. It is believed to have been created by a giant impact between a young Earth, when it was still molten, and a Mars-sized body. After examination, it had been noted that the moon is apparently in the wrong orbit for its size. According to its current assumed density, astronomy data indicates that the internal regions of the moon are less dense than the outer, giving rise to inevitable speculation that it could be hollow. Some of these claims come from the fact that when a meteor strikes the moon, it rings like a bell. More specifically, when the Apollo crew on November 20th, 1969 released the lunar module after returning to the orbiter, the module impact with the moon caused their seismic equipment to register a continuous reverberation like a bell for more than an hour. In July 1970, members of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, Michael Vassin and Alexander Shrepikov, proposed that the Spaceship Moon Theory. The pseudoscientific theory claims that the Earth's moon may actually be what they assume is an alien spacecraft. Vasson and Shcherbakov's thesis was that the moon is hollowed out planetoid created by an unknown beings with technology far superior to any on Earth. Huge machines would have been used to melt rock, form large cavities within the moon. The moon would therefore consist of a hull-like inner shell and an outer shell made of metallic rocky slag. Thus, the spaceship moon was then placed in orbit around the Earth. Proponents of this theory point to the increased reports of pictures from UFOs taken by NASA on their missions to the moon. It had been found that asteroids and meteors not only create shallow craters on the moon's surface, but produce a convex floor to the crater instead of a concave, as expected, supporting the idea of a rigid shell. The article goes on and says, the moon is far older than previously expected, maybe even older than the Earth or the Sun. The oldest age for the Earth is estimated at 4.6 billion years old, while moon rocks were dated at 5.3 billion. The chemical composition of the dust on the moon, which the rocks sit in, is remarkably different from the rocks themselves. This indicates that the lunar surface may have been moved from somewhere else and placed on the moon. Some of the moon's craters originate internally, yet there is no indication that the moon was ever hot enough to produce volcanic eruptions. Hundreds of moonquakes are recorded each year that cannot be attributed to meteor strikes. Some of the quakes seem to follow a specific schedule. The moon's crust is much harder than originally presumed. When NASA was recorded drilling down a few inches in the moon's surface, it appeared that metal shavings were visible. Earth's moon is the only natural satellite in the solar system that has a stationary near-perfect circular orbit. How does one explain the coincidence that the moon is just the right distance, coupled with just the right diameter, to completely cover the sun during an eclipse?
That's kind of freaky. I never thought about that before.
Yeah. Professional astronomers have been gradually discouraged from investigating a phenomenon that has been reported on the moon for 1,000 years. It is a short-lived light, color, or other changes in the appearance of the lunar surface, referred to as the transient lunar phenomenon. The article piqued my interest, you know, with probably that last paragraph alone. And the fact that, you know, NASA's own instruments picked up a reverberation for like an hour. It's odd. You know, it could be naturally made that way, but it's just enough of a curiosity's sake to get people's minds working. And there's been a lot of people that also theorize that we aren't natural inhabitants of the Earth.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that some diseases tend to ravage the human body a lot more, even though it could be nature's way of controlling the population.
Yeah.
You know? But, and a lot of people say, well, you know, Mars had life. Mars was an environment very close to what we could sustain in if it had vegetation and running water still. And they also say that the moon is not our natural satellite, but was actually one of Mars's. So you couple all of those again with the spaceship moon theory, something the size of the moon could support a colony big enough to make a proper genetic population to perpetuate life on another world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of science fiction writers will point to a Dyson sphere as being a craft of similar proportions and what they're talking about here in this article. Who knows? I mean, a lot of what was science fiction at one time becomes
reality,
the everyday life now. Cell phones are, you know, Star Trek's communicators, you know, that sort of thing. So, interesting article. Whether it has any credence, I have no idea. But it's a cool theory.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But, this is what we surmise. This is what we've come up with in theory and such. Draw your own conclusions.
Absolutely. I mean, and it'll always be, that's the whole thing, always be opinions and theories and conclusions. The only thing we can do is just keep gathering evidence and keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't let us black out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, I want to continue on with our technology. I mean, there's a great show on NBC that talks about the loss of technology. It's called Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a big problem with how everything in the electronic just does not work, be it batteries or anything like this, but yet they can have a steam locomotive. Why can't you have a steam generator performing electricity and such? But the whole premise of the show is you're not without technology. Now you have to go back to the basics. You have to grow your own food again. You have to hunt.
A lot of the basics are lost. A lot of college kids nowadays couldn't tell you how to operate a can opener. You know why? Because they don't have to. They were never taught growing up how to use a can opener because modern technology went to pop tops.
Yes, exactly.
Just like I couldn't tell you how to churn butter right now. But I tell you what, my great-grandfather could churn butter because that's how you got your butter.
Yep. Yep.
You know, technologies change and things are lost over time, but it's the remembrance and the carrying on of the traditions of it that's going to keep us moving forward.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, to move forward, you have to look back at times.
Exactly. You know,
those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
So. Exactly. And are we repeating history over and over again? That's a very good question. Yep. Where is all this ancient alien technology, if it is ancient alien, or... is it not ancient alien? Is it ancient human technology? And we are just going in a cycle. We're creating it and losing it.
Exactly, exactly. So that's the theory that we're putting forth. I'd love to hear your opinions on the subject. You know, write to us on Facebook, facebook.com/ghost society. You can check out our website and get in touch with us there through our contact section, which is www.thegsny.com. You can email us through there also. You can send me a direct email if you want to yell at me at jeremy@thegsny.com. So reach out to us. Give us your theories. You know, we'll air them for you. If you got a comment that you want to have on the air, we'll put that on the air for you. If you want your name withheld, just say so in the email or message, and we'll do that for you. So tune in with us in a couple weeks.
Thanks for tuning in.
We're going to be talking about Bigfoot. And we'll see you then. Take care.